We are going to continue our Family Month series. Now, have any of you had parents or any parents have had kids in Little League or anything like that? Yeah? Okay. All right. So you might understand this. You ever notice how some parents, say, start to complain that their kid's not getting enough playing time? And then the coach kind of bends to that, and then the coach gives their kid more playing time, and you're like, wait a minute. You're just giving that kid more playing time because their parents were complaining. And there's something about that that seems very unfair. You know, we go to Disneyland often. We're big Disney fans, and we go to Disneyland multiple times a month. And at Disneyland, they have this show, and it's like a live little theater show, and they do Tangled or Beauty and the Beast or whatever. And the kids get to sit right up front, crisscross applesauce, right in front of the stage. And so, but you got to get there early. So we're there early, and it's hot there in Anaheim, and so we're getting ready, and it's like a 45-minute wait, so we're waiting, and we're waiting, and all of a sudden, because it's first come, first serve, all of a sudden, as they're about ready to open up the gates to let you in, parents start to crowd up on you, you know, there's like no more personal space, so you're kind of boxing out, they're like, I was here first, don't go around me, and so you're kind of like making sure that they're not going to get past you. Finally, they let you in. You basically go run. You're like, girls, sit up right up front. And the girls get right up front, and they're like the perfect spots. Like right up front. And we're sitting back there, and we're like, they're going to love this. All of a sudden, the show is about to start, and you got this little kid complaining that he can't see. And they just walked up. They just walked up right then. And there was, and then so the lady's like, well, let's make some room up front. No, they needed to be here earlier, right? So I'm literally coaching my girls, like, box out. Pastor James, remember, box out. Don't let them sit. You earn that spot. You can't let them get right there. Come on. My girl's like, what? I don't understand. And so they put the kid right up front, and it's like, that's not fair. There's something about it that it wasn't fair. If you want to get a good seat, you should have got here earlier. Now, is that what God wants me to do? Probably not. The Bible actually does talk about this, and in fact, it talks about that we shouldn't just be paying attention to our own selves, even our own families, but it actually asks us to take it a step further. We're supposed to care about other families too. Why? It actually helps the community. It helps the overall community. It says here, we're looking in Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish conceit, selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, what is this saying here? Paul is basically saying, listen, it's not good enough just to take care of yourself, and it's not good enough just to take care of your family. I want you to look after other families. That's how God made us. But we don't like that because it's not normal. It's not something that we do on purpose. Guys, we're born selfish. We've got twin girls. But you know what their first word was? Mine. You know, you put a toy in the middle of a room, they're going to go, mine. We're born selfish, right? So the fact of the matter is, when we have to think about other families, it's not really in nothing that comes to our mind really quickly. Now, let me give you an example. Let's take Little League again, okay? Let's say your kid is in Little League and there's a fight that breaks out, okay? And the coach goes, hey, you two, knock it off. The first reaction before even looking at who's doing it is, please make that not be my kid, right? And then when you find out it's not your kid, you're like, I don't care. Those kids can beat each other up, not my kid, you know? Or if you've ever been to like a parent conference, my wife's a teacher, and so maybe the teacher's like, you know, we've been having a lot of problems with kids talking, and so I've had to separate these kids, and it just, you know, please talk to your children. I guarantee you the first thing that's going on in every parent's mind is that my kid? Is that my kid? Is that my kid? And then you ask the teacher, was that, just curious, was that my kid? No. You're like, okay, great. I don't care if those other brats are going crazy. My kid's good. I don't really care about that. I just care about mine. And what God is saying is, actually, I want you to care about them too, because it's going to help your community. And it's a big question. So what would be a good question to ask right now? What responsibility does my family have to our greater community, if any? Now, Jesus is talking to this ancient audience one day. And they're much like us. You know, like, I've got my own problems. I've got my own stresses. I really don't have time to stress about other people's issues. I've already got my own stuff to deal with. So he's talking to a crowd much like us. And this is what he says in Luke 10, 25. This is an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. And he said this, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And I love how Jesus is just like, "What do you see?" So he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." Simple. You already answered your own question. But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" I want to pause for a second. That is an excellent question. Okay? Think about that you're in this crowd for a second, and you're seeing God in human form. You're seeing Jesus answering these great questions. How do I get to heaven? Like, what do I got to do? Obviously, this life ends. Obviously, one day we're all going to have funerals. So how do I get to heaven? What do I need to do? And so Jessica, you got to love God. Okay, I know who God is. I already know who that is. But who's my neighbor? I'll do what you're asking me to do, but who is it? Now, Jesus could have easily said, "That person right next to you, that's your neighbor. Or the person that lives next to you. Or friends." But he doesn't. Jesus decides to answer this man in a form of a story. Why? Because he's showing here, I want to partner with you so that you figure it out. I don't want to just give you all the answers. I'm not here to make a bunch of robots. I want you to have your own free will, and I want you to answer the question, and I'm going to give you the information you need to answer that question. So Jesus replies in a story. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side." "But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him in the inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." You just answered your own question. Go and do the same. I want to, again, pause. Notice the very first person Jesus uses in this story. It's a priest. Do you really think that's accidental or it's some sort of a misprint that we missed on when we were translating it into English? No. Jesus is making it very clear. I could care less about your man-made titles. Okay? I don't care. That titles are given to men. Men give each other other titles. But I don't care if it's a pastor or a priest or a pope or a bishop or a prophet. It doesn't matter to me because I care about your heart. And so what he's absolutely making this distinction is, listen, a lot of people are going to be showy and all that stuff. I don't care about. I want to know what's in here. And what's in here is this man showed compassion. That's what I want you to do. The Samaritan had no real reason to do this other than he had the heart of what Jesus is looking for. It goes out to a broader level in the Old Testament. We see this in Jeremiah 29:5. It says, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare." In other words, your family doesn't just exist for the good of your family, but for the ultimate good of your entire community. Guys, this is a big, big paradigm shift here because we don't really look at our community. We close our doors. Some of us, we go into our garage and we shut the garage door before anybody can see you get out of the car because we just like our own little thing. And we don't really have interest in finding out what our neighbors are doing, what's about that. We only kind of think about our own thing. And what he's saying is, no, I want you to think and care for others because it's going to help, again, your community. Now, what does that look like? It's not going to be easy. In fact, people wrestled with this in the Old and New Testament. A lot of people struggled with this. Judges 17:6 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes." Now, this passage isn't just about an individual doing what they wanted. It's actually families doing whatever they felt like doing, and it turned out to be a total disaster. Because everybody was just being selfish and doing what they wanted, and the community was completely a mess. So the idea of loving and caring for your community sounds overwhelming. So a great question for us this morning is, well, where do I start? I'd like to help my community. What does that mean? What does it even look like? Well, I want to love my neighbor as myself, but what does that look like? There's a story in the Old Testament about what it looks like to have a healthy community. And it's, does anybody know who Haggai is? Okay. Poor Haggai. You know, Haggai was a prophet. He's in the Old Testament. And right now, he's probably going, nobody talks about me. You know, Paul, everybody loves you. John, yep, I get it. They all love you. They want to start. But Haggai, he's in the Bible. So here's the deal. We're going to talk about good old Haggai so that when you go to heaven, you'll know who he is. Okay? So you see him, you go, Haggai, I talked about you. He's like, oh, all right. That's my boy. Okay, we're going to look at it's Haggai only has a couple of chapters in the Bible, often overlooked, but he's one of the prophets in the Old Testament. And he says this, Haggai 1:3. Then the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, is it time for yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough to eat. You never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is ever warm. And you that earn wages to put them into bags with holes. God is saying, listen, you're building a family. You're just not building mine. You're building houses, not building mine. You're building into your own community, but not the bigger overall community. And your community has a lot to do with the health of your family, has a lot to do with the health of your community. See, unhealthy communities is a problem that we're seeing to this day. And I want to make something very clear here. There is no amount of government agencies that could solve the problems in our communities right now. There just isn't. There's not, because it starts with our families. We start with our families. Our families go out and have other help other families, and not because we're mandated to, but because we want to, because that's what Jesus asks us to do. And could you imagine if our families actually cared about other families, what we could do? Could you imagine what our communities would look like if we actually cared about their well-being just as much as mine? It would change everything. See, the overall purpose of your family is to bond together to better your community. Again, you cannot mandate that. You can't make a law for that. That's got to come out of your heart. And there aren't enough government agencies that can do it. It starts in the home. So going back, this goes back to Abraham. Do you notice that when God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and he certainly did? He didn't say, I'm going to bless you, take it easy, see you later. He says, I'm going to bless you so that you could be a blessing to you, and you could be a blessing to you. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to others. We all want God's blessings, but we never think about how we could bless others. That's what he wants us to think about. That's what's showing the heart of who Jesus is, and that, again, helps the overall community. So God clearly blesses these people. The people in Haggai take this totally seriously, and he blesses them. We see here in Haggai 1:12, this is going to be fun. These are some fun words. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, yes, I got them all, okay, the high priest, with all the remnant of people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So they take action to care about others. They start to be healthy, other families start to be healthy, and they have a community that everybody wants to live in. And you don't have to have it gated to have that. Everybody wants to live in this community because they're starting to care about others in the community. Okay, and it's starting to work. And they're really thinking, that's what was missing. That's what was missing. I wanted that kind of a life for my family, but that's what was missing. We weren't caring about each other. We were just looking after our own selves. Guys, I want to make something also super clear here. Right now, I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of all the political ads going on right now. It's driving me crazy, all right? Every commercial, vote for me and I'll solve everything. Vote for that person and everything's ruined. I mean, no matter what side you're on, it's just like, it's so annoying. Let me make this super clear. The people that are putting those ads out there do not have the power to do what to create these healthy communities, and they cannot keep all their promises. They're trying to get there because they like that power for themselves. They want that for them. They cannot give you what they're telling you they can give you. They can't. You can't mandate this. So politicians aren't the answer, no matter who is in there. It's not the answer. What's the answer? It starts in your home. It starts right in your home. And then you start to develop healthy habits, and then you can help other people And you can bring them to church, and they could meet other families. And you could, that's why the church family is so important. We're going to get into that. God's goal is that we always be exploring his family, and that we're constantly widening the circle of people we treat like family. Have you ever noticed that when you accept Jesus, you're not instantly zapped to heaven? There's a reason. He could. He could say, okay, you're saved, you're in. Come on in. He doesn't do that. Or when you get baptized and you come out of the water, then you don't just like float to heaven, right? Doesn't happen. Because you're supposed to be here. Why? So you could get as much wealth for yourself. Nope. Some of you are like, yeah. You're here still because he's got a job for you. And what he's saying here is what he just said to that person that asked him, who's my neighbor? He's saying, listen, I want to partner with you. The God of everything, the God of all creation says, I want to partner with you. You have something that I need for this community, and I'm going to be with you, and you're going to be a very important person in this community, and you're going to represent me. I don't care what sins you've done. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how much bad things you've done. It doesn't matter. That's what the importance of the cross is. You're already forgiven. I'm going to partner with you, and you're going to make a healthier community. The God of the universe wants to partner with you. And that's one of the biggest reasons, guys, we want to expand this church family. Guys, we want to do this. We want to grow not just for ourselves, not just so we could be bigger, so we could say we're bigger or whatever. We want to grow this DNA and go out there to those communities and those apartments across the street. And we want to say, God's got a plan for you too, and we would love for you to be part of this family. God wants the church to be the church. Why do you think there's events for Family Month every week? Let me let you in on a little secret. Those events aren't just to get us to have some good treats. They're to invite the community so that the community could see who we are, right? It's certainly not because we have the extra money. We don't. We're very tight budgeted right now. You are trusting God with your tithe. And you are going, God, I'm giving this to you, but I'm going to tithe here at South Hills Church because this is where I go to church. And South Hills Church now has a responsibility to take that tithe and go, how can we invest in our community? So that's why we have these events. So you can bring people and invite people so they can know who God is. And they could be part of your family and you could be part of theirs and that you could have that community grow out into the community. Grow out. So it's why outreach is so important. This community needs the church to be the church. The irony is, when you stop obsessing over just what's best for you, you end up doing what's best for you by working towards what's best for us. Guys, I've been a pastor for 18 years, and I have heard a lot of people say, I don't need church because I do my own Bible studies, or I do my own podcasts, or I listen to the messages that I listen to, and so I don't really need church because I do it my own way. Guys, I'm sorry, that's just selfish. They don't get it. They're missing the entire point of what it looks like to follow Christ. The point is to get others to care about others. What you're saying is, I just care about myself. I'm good. I don't really care about somebody else. The problem is, person, you're going to need somebody else at some point. You need to have that community. I've heard other people say, well, I don't want to go to church because all they want is my money. And they pass a bucket around and they just want my money. Or they just want my time. Or they just want this. Or they just want that. Guys, there is nothing in the Bible that says that's what God wants for his church. That's not what we want for the church. We're just trying to come alongside you to grow you in ways that God wants to grow you so that you can be more dependent on him. What's the purpose of the church family? It's to be a community that laughs together and cries together and mourns together and celebrates together. And is there for each other. And no matter how great your family is, they can't possibly provide all that you need. It develops, we need that family. Now, are we better than people that don't go to church? No, I'm not. I've got my own issues and my own struggles. I'm not any better than somebody that doesn't go to church. Well, if we're no better than people that don't go to church, what's the point? A healthy church helps you get healthy so you can help your family get healthy. So you could partner with other families for the health of your whole community. So, okay, I go to church, I want to get healthy, okay? It's like going to the gym. You know, I want to go to the gym, I want to get healthy. Going to church, I want to get healthy. Then I want to get my family healthy, because that's your first ministry, my own family. Then I want to take this and I want to go out and I want to serve the community. And I want to do things in the community with our family and our church family. Again, we are being blessed so that we could be a blessing to others. Now, I get that it's a common thing to fall into the trap of, I'm just going to care about my own family because, again, I just don't have time. I get that. But the truth is, there are all sorts of things that your family needs that you can't possibly give them. God designed us intentionally to live in communities. He designed us that way. We are intended to live in a community with other people. Okay? That was God's intention from the beginning. Again, serving and crying and laughing and playing and to be in community. So God, church isn't just a place to go to make you feel judged. Church is a family that you belong to. It's not a place you go to out of tradition or you know, to make me feel bad or something. It's not that at all. It's a family that you belong to. It's something that God intended for His, so much so that God actually called it His family. But it's going to take action on your part. And I'm sure that every pastor has a story like this. Everyone. I know that I've heard pastors say stories like this, and it's so true. But I remember one time, there was a lady that wasn't at our church. And I noticed it was about three Sundays around. And so I decided to give her a call. And the first thing that she says to me when I call her is, I go, hello. She goes, 3 weeks. And I was like, excuse me? She goes, 3 weeks, Pastor. And I'm like, 3 weeks, okay. She goes, nobody from the church has called me in 3 weeks. I could have been dead. And nobody from the church has called me. And I said, well, I don't think you're dead now, unless I'm calling heaven. She's like, no, here's the point. You call the church a family. You say that we're all in it together, but nobody from the church has called me. And I started laughing, and I said, listen, you don't like the worship music because you said it's too loud. Yeah, it's too loud. So you come late. Yes. Okay, okay. You don't stick around and talk to anybody. No, I don't want to deal with all the parking. Okay. So you come late, and then you leave early because you don't, parking's an issue. You don't serve at any ministries. No, all the church wants is my time. And I don't give either because our church is about money. Okay. So that means you haven't gotten to know anybody. Right. I said, listen, here's the deal. I love you. Okay. So I'm going to be honest with you. You haven't made any effort to meet anybody. I'm the only one that you know, and I'm calling you. And honestly, you're super cranky. Figured, what do I got to lose now, right? It's already ticked off. So she thankfully laughed. I was like, and she goes, you know, I've been estranged from my family for 14 years, and I've been alone, and I don't know how to be in the community. And I said, let me help you. It starts by just being open. It's going to take you doing something, you know? So get involved in handing bulletins out or do, you know, something just to get, which is an important job, by the way, and make friends, meet people, you know? And she said she would. But here's the thing. It's going to require action on your part, and it all starts with your family. So here's a question you could start with. How am I teaching my family to take hands-on responsibility for our community? You could start with just saying, we're going to come to church as a family. Like, we're going to come to church every Sunday as a family. Some of you are like, there's no way I can make it. Just try, okay? But we're going to do this together. We could try to get into a ministry together. Serve the community, maybe like, you know, with donations or feeding homeless or something like that. We're going to do this together as a family. But do something together as a family. Because it's going to help your overall community. Maybe volunteer with something your kid's interested in. You know, the girls' school has something called the watchdogs. And it's where the dads come in and you kind of hang out with the kids all day long. Okay? And so when I first heard about this, I'm like, I'm not doing that. No. So the girls came home with the flyer and they were super excited. And they're like, Dad, we want you to be a watchdog. This is going to be the best. Come on. I'm like, yeah, this looks so interesting. You guys want to go to Disneyland instead? No, we want you to be a watchdog. It's like, okay, me too. I want to do it. And then I go to the information meeting and I hear all about it. I'm like, oh my goodness. Do I want to be a watchdog? No, I don't want to be a watchdog. But do my kids want it? Yeah. And you know what? When I was preparing for this message, I thought, you know what? I really should do it. This is a great way to help my overall community. It's a community school. And so this message actually convicted me, you know, to do that. So think about maybe something in your family that you could help out with. But what could I do today? Come on, Pastor, give me something today I could do. I want to get going. Okay, here's what you get today. Know who you are, okay? Start with where you are. Use what you have and do what you can. Know who you are, start where you are, use what you can, do what you can, or use what you have, do what you can. And I want to take a picture of that and not listen to me stumble through it. So know who you are, start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. You could do that today. You don't have to do it all in one big thing, but you could do this today. And guys, it will pay off, and you'll have the community that you guys want to live in and be part of. So just remember when you leave today, guys, your family needs to be focused on something bigger than just your family, okay? Now, some of you might be thinking, hold on a second. So, Pastor James, let me get something straight here. You want my family to influence this community? Have you met my family? We're crazy. You want us to do this? Or some of you are like, I don't really need that. I am good on my own. My family is great. We are like a Norman Rockwell painting. We are so close, and our family is the best, and I don't really need this message because we're really good. Here's the thing. No, you're not. Because if you don't care about others in your community, you're not. There's going to be something missing. Your community needs what you have, and you will need what they have. No matter how close you are, no matter how fun you guys are, no matter how loving you guys are, your family is going to need something that your family can't provide. And that is God's intentional plan. He wants you to have to depend on others so that you can live in community. You can find that anywhere. You can find that in a park. You could find it at the kids' school. You could find it anywhere. You could even find it at your local Chick-fil-A. Anybody like Chick-fil-A? Then you might have seen this. Check this out.
Operator said, hey, one of our regular customers had a heart transplant recently. Would you be okay with me introducing you to them? I was like, absolutely, man.
That's when I got to meet Brian. We've both had a heart transplant and love Chick-fil-A. Brian represents an older me because of what he's been through.
I was so happy to be able to be that person in Shay's life.
It's nice knowing someone in the community able to talk to you like that.
I'm glad that I'm in this journey, in this story right now with Shay.
Yeah. That little boy needed something. And I bet you that little boy's got great parents and great cousins and great brothers or sisters and great uncles and aunts. But nobody in his family had that. So it doesn't matter how great you think your family, and they're probably great. My family's great. I love them. I would do anything for them. But we need other people too. We need our church family. We need our community. We need to be in other people's lives, guys.